Our scripture reading for this morning is from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. So if you are able, please stand for the reading of God's word. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, this is a very familiar passage of the scriptures, isn't it? This is a passage where we begin hearing it when we're very young. Most children's Bibles have an account of the healing of the leper. Three of the Gospels tell this, and they're very similar in their recounting of what happened there. And it displays again what we're seeing in this larger section of the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus is revealing in this ministry when he's traveling around in Galilee, he's revealing his authority and he's revealing his power. And that is certainly present in this situation as well. The thing that is happening here is unique because this man had a sickness that is often in Scripture associated with our sin. His leprosy was all over. It says that he was full of leprosy. And then here, we also see something about the heart of God displayed in Christ in doing these things. So I want us to look at this in three parts. It's a very short passage. In the first part, we see in verse 12, wanting to be clean, referring to the leper. In verse 13, we see willing to make clean, how Jesus responds. And then in verses 14 through 16, we see working out a clean life. So let's jump right in. First, wanting to be clean. Why did this man come to Jesus? Well, some word must have gotten to him, and there was a great buzz that was going around in the cities of the area called Galilee at the time. Perhaps it was word of his message that started such a conflict in his hometown of Nazareth, where in that sermon, Jesus refers to lepers, where he says, in Nazareth, he says, there were many lepers in the time of the prophet Elisha, and yet none of them was healed except only Naaman the Syrian. When you are desperate for God, when you have a need that only God can heal, can help, then you listen to God's word proclaimed with a more keen attentiveness. You listen because you need to hear what God has to say, and you need his power in your life. Somehow word of what Jesus was doing got to this man who was a leper. His life must have been quite miserable. Being a leper and being full of leprosy meant being an outcast. But the key thing that's happening here, and the question on this man's mind, is not about Jesus' ability to heal. Look at verse 12 with me again. Whenever he came to Jesus, he fell on his face and he begged him and he said, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, I want you to notice there that the key question for this man is not, can Jesus cure my leprosy? He knows that Jesus can do it. But look at the question. The key question he asks is this: will he cure me? In other words, that word there for will is translated pretty well in some translations. Whenever we read this, it's like, do you decide to or not? Like whenever you're ordering at a restaurant, you say, will you have this to drink or will you have that to drink? And that sort of gets to it. But the idea with his question is this: Jesus, is this what you want to do? Is this your will? In other words, the man with leprosy is coming to Jesus and he's asking this key question. Is he willing? Does he want to help me? I know that he's able, but is that what he wants? Now, this being the key question on this man's mind when he approaches Jesus is something that we should pause and think about. And I want to ask you right away, is this a question on your mind? Is it a question on your mind that maybe Jesus is willing or not to help you? Some people are outside of Christ because they think, my sins are too much. I don't want to burden him. He might look at me and say, your sins are too much. Now, what is the answer to that? Another question, though, is for believers. People that are in Christ will often struggle with sin, will often struggle with shame and being separated from other people, keeping their sin hidden, either from pride or from shame, and staying back from other people thinking, if they knew what I was really like, they would reject me. And perhaps a part of that is because they think that God is like that, that Jesus would look at you and say, you know, you started off okay, but you really messed things up, as if he is that way. So that is the question that's hanging over all of this. Notice the word then that he uses here. He doesn't say, can you heal me when he comes? He specifically asks, Jesus, can you make me clean? He says, I know you are able to, but are you willing to make me clean? Now, the word clean is a key word here. It's used three times in our passage. To understand this, we have to understand what it meant to be a leper under the law in the time of Israel there. To do that, we would look at Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. I'll give you a little summary. But in Leviticus chapter 13, you read it, and when a person had a disease on their skin, they were sent to the priest, and the priest would examine the leprosy, would examine the skin. And these words are repeated throughout, where the different kinds of things that would appear on people's skins had to be examined. So you hear over and over again, the priest had the job to examine and then to pronounce judgment. It was always the priest examined, the priest examines, and then pronounces judgment. Most of the time what they found was a pronouncement judged unclean. Sometimes the thing that was on their skin was going to clear up, or it did clear up, and then the priest would examine and pronounce judgment and say clean. This man was full of leprosy. The judgment he always received was unclean. Now in the Old Testament law, to be unclean was to be unholy. It was to be unfit for worshiping God. It was to be unfit to be touched by other people. It was to be excluded from others. And specifically with leprosy, this is what was decreed under Moses in Leviticus 13. It says in verses 45 and 46, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. And he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Now that is a heavy, heavy burden to carry. And that's what this man lived with. He was unclean. So when he comes to Jesus, what is he asking? He's asking for more than just healing. He's asking to be brought back together with people, to be in relationships again. He's asking, can you restore me to have people where I don't have to live alone anymore, where I can be connected with people, where I can touch again and be touched, and where I can worship God with the other people in our community. He was asking to be made clean, and this is a spiritual issue. To worship God, it is always this way. To worship God, you must be clean. To dwell among God's people, you must be clean. And yet this man was full of leprosy. So what could a priest do? If this man was sent to the priests and if he went to the priests, what were the priests able to do at that time? There's nothing in those chapters about the priests should rub oil and pray for the person and bring them to health from their cleansing. No, the priest examined and then they pronounced judgment. They weren't there to heal. They weren't accomplishing that. So they could pronounce him unclean, and that's what he received. We can sort of picture then the desperation and the need that this man came with when he came to Jesus and he fell down on his face. So look next at verse 13. What we find is that Jesus is, in fact, willing to make him clean. But first, what Jesus does is something that's really incredible. He stretched out his hand and he touched him. It doesn't say how. You know, you might picture just a hand on the shoulder, and I think that would be amazing. Some people speculate that he put his arm around him, but he touched him. That is incredibly significant because it shows the heart of Jesus. It shows a display physically of the answer that this man to this man's question. The question was, are you willing to make me clean? Is it in your heart to want to actually help me? And so he comes to him and he touches him before he gives the answer. Now, this is a question that many people wrestle with. In a passage that's parallel to this in the Gospel of Mark, Mark says that at that time, when Jesus is asked the question, Mark says Jesus was moved with pity. He stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I will be clean. Moved with pity. This idea of the heart of Jesus, the idea of his emotions, his feelings, they come out, they overflow at certain times where the gospel writers write about this. We see it in all of the gospels, actually. That's what Mark is telling us here in this passage where Jesus stretches out his hand and touches him. You're not to touch an unclean person. Jesus goes right through that. Jesus doesn't worry about being made unclean. Jesus is making him clean. So whenever we see this, we see the very heart of Jesus within him. Richard Sibbes, writing about this aspect of who Jesus is, writes this: when Christ saw the people in misery, his heart yearned within him. The works of grace and mercy in Christ, the things that he was doing, they came from his very heart. They came from a loving, giving, caring heart. First, Sib says, that's where they originate. And then whatever Jesus did, he did it out of that same love, that same grace, and that same mercy. Now, think about it this way. This man who was on his face before Jesus, asking if he's willing, knowing that he's able, I think that man would have been elated to have Jesus just say, I'm willing, be clean, and not touch him. He would have gone off clean and his whole life completely transformed. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus reached out and he touched him. What was he doing? I think, again, he was displaying his incredible heart for sinners, for broken people, for people that need cleansing so that they can be restored to relationship, so that they can know the love that is in him. Now think about this for yourself. Maybe this is what you most need to hear today. Jesus's heart is full of kindness, and it is full of love for any broken person that has ever come to him. And you, as broken as you are, as much as you need cleansing, are welcomed to come to him. Again, sometimes people struggle with this aspect of coming to him. Sometimes people fear that Jesus is willing to make others clean, but maybe I am too much. Or maybe you worry that you have come to him before and that you then chose to return to some pattern of sin, as if now you've worn out your welcome and he won't have you anymore. John Bunyan actually writes about this, and he speaks about a promise that Jesus made one time when Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me, I will never cast them out. I will never make them go away." And Bunyan talks about it this way because Bunyan feared this and he wrestled with this in his own life. That people think this. Many people, when they are coming to Christ, or when they would come to Christ for the first time, or after many years of knowing him and then falling back into patterns of sin, many people are afraid that Jesus will now say this to them. And so he says, Jesus said this on purpose. He gave us these kinds of promises. He displays his love in places like this healing of the leper to let us know the largeness and the openness of his promise. He knows that this fear of maybe some point will be too much. So he answers it for us with this word, "I will never do that. Anyone that comes to me," Jesus says, "I will never turn them away. I will never cast them out." This man came humbly. This man came for cleansing. This man came on his face and in great need. This leper cleansed then is for us a display of this wonderful promise of Jesus, that if we come to him with all of our weakness, with as much of a mess as we've made of our lives, he will not turn us away. Now, if your thought is, "I don't need physical healing, I don't have leprosy, or I don't have some thing that I know that has made me unclean," let's examine ourselves. Because what we need from Jesus that is common to every single person is we need to be healed spiritually. And what Jesus said is that the thing that makes a person unclean is not what comes into them, but what comes out of them. What makes any one of us and what makes every one of us unclean is what comes from our hearts and what flows out. This is the list that Jesus gave when he spoke privately to his disciples in Mark 7. He says, this is what makes a person unclean. It's evil thoughts. It's sexual immorality. It's theft. It's murder, it's adultery, it's coveting, it's wickedness, it's deceit, it's sensuality, it's envy, it's slander, it's pride, it's foolishness. Now that's a hard list, isn't it? These are the things that come out of people, and these are the things that actually make us unclean. So, what makes you unclean? And let me ask you this. Are you willing to come to Jesus acknowledging the things that have come out of your heart that have made you unclean? Are you willing to come to him and find cleansing spiritually? Can you pray and humbly ask to be made clean? This man was so isolated because of his uncleanness. But he came to Jesus humbly. And what would Jesus do? What was the outcome? Well, it's the same thing for us when we come to him with our spiritual uncleanness. Jesus reached out and he welcomed him with a touch. He touched him and then he said these words, "I am willing. Be clean." And for whatever has come out of your life, when you come to him for cleansing, this is what he says to you. You can be clean because of this. Jesus is willing to cleanse everyone who comes to him. It's an incredible thing. And scripture says immediately the leprosy left him. Again, the glorious power of God displayed right there on the spot. What we need is not physically to be healed right now. What we need most is to be cleansed spiritually. Now, when we are cleansed, let's look at what happens next with this man, verses 14 through 16, working out a clean life. Jesus gives this man specific instructions that are twofold. First, he says, do not tell anyone what happened to you right here. And then he says this, go to the priests and do what Moses commanded as a proof to them. So the command to tell no one is a little strange when we read this. Jesus has been doing these things publicly and he hasn't been hiding anything. So I don't think at this point in his ministry he's trying to keep a lid on all the crowds and all the things that are happening. I don't think that's what Luke is telling us, because word is already spreading like wildfire about him, and it's in this section as well. It's spread all the more. This seems to be more about what Jesus is doing for this man specifically, and also something that he's doing for the community of the priesthood. So Jesus does not send him into a public buzz, and this man didn't need that. When we are healed by God, when we find something of God's grace that comes and touches our lives, what we need is true and full restoration, as this man did, which is always in alignment with God's holy word, alignment with God's holy will. The priests for this man could keep God's law. But look at something that happened with this man. The law only brought condemnation to him until he met Christ. Jesus was able to bring the healing that he needed. So with Jesus, this same law that brought condemnation brought this man's source of restoration to the whole community. It changed him thoroughly, and it led him into the worship of God with God's people. It restored him to fellowship with God and his people. And so the way that this works is in Leviticus chapter 14, that chapter says, when a person is cleansed from leprosy and they come to the priest, and the priest has already said, the priest has examined them, and then they pronounce their judgment and they say, now you're clean. It would start a week-long process, which began with some sacrifices that were made, and then having the whole body shaved, the head, the beard, every bit of hair is gone, including your eyebrows are shaved off. You're completely shaved. And then after a week, they come back to these priests again, and they bring more sacrifices. And the priests make the sacrifices, they wave them before God, and then they pronounce the guy or the person clean. And then they can go out, and they have no more burden on them. And all of the hair being removed and all that process is a picture of saying, now you get a clean start, because now you are pronounced clean. And your hair starts growing back, and your relationships start growing back, and your place in the community of God's people begins to grow again. It's like a detox, and now you're starting over. This is what this man needed, and this is what we need when we are cleaned spiritually. We need this process of being cleaned. But the sacrifice that makes us clean is Christ's sacrifice. The thing that washes us over and over again is his own self being sacrificed. And this is what we remember in the Lord's Supper. Now think about what this meant to this community of priests. The priests, Jesus says, were to receive a proof. They were given evidence that they just had to look at and face because it was their job to look at it. And they had the job of inspecting this man, and then they had to declare a judgment. So their words were, "This man is clean." And they had to face the fact that Jesus is the one that did this. So their very pronouncement would be a proof to them that Jesus cleansed this man of leprosy. Their very work was to evaluate what is clean and what is not. But now they found one who could do something that they could not, and that was to remove the uncleanness of leprosy. They found one who can make clean. And again, Jesus' authority and his power are displayed and presented now to this priesthood. Now, have you realized what these priests were confronted with? That here is proof, as you look at this leper being cleansed, that Jesus is able to make clean. I want you to look at him and what he did for this leper, and I want you to apply it to yourself. And I want you to do it in two ways, depending on where you find yourself this morning. When we prepare for the Lord's Supper, we often look at a couple of passages together. One of them is when we examine our hearts and make confession of sin. So we look at 1 John chapter 1, and there's a couple of things here that are in common with what it means to be clean. Here, John shows us that there is cleansing, and there are two types of cleansing that are listed. And so the first question is, have you been made clean ever? In 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says this, "If we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, the book of 1 John is written to people so that they can know that they have eternal life. And right here, he's showing us, what does it mean to come into this life? To come into to life with Christ, to be a Christian, is to have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. You're not physically being washed in anything. It's a spiritual thing because of what he did on the cross. When we turn to him in repentance and faith, we are washed from all sin. Now, the second way we see this cleansing work of God for us is in verses 8 and 9. This is an ongoing kind of cleansing because Christians will continue to wrestle and struggle with sin. It says if we say we have no sin, then we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the ongoing cleansing that we need, so that we as Christians do not get into patterns where we are isolated and where we are ashamed. Now, I want to ask you again to think about yourself. Is there any pride in your life that causes you to say, "I don't need that kind of ongoing cleansing"? If it is, humble yourself this day. Don't deceive yourself. You need his constant cleansing as a Christian. And let me ask you this. If you have never had your sins fully removed, this is what you're welcome to do. You're welcome to come to him like the leper came to Christ and to have all sins removed because of what Jesus did on the cross. These are the twofold ways that he cleanses us. He removes all the penalty of our sin when we turn to him in faith. And then he continues to remove the very power of sin against which we wrestle as believers in an ongoing way, and he keeps cleansing us as we go on. Jesus is willing and able to make clean all who come to him for cleansing, and he alone restores us to God and to one another. And now finally look at this, what he says at the end. Mark or Luke tells us that Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Now that's an interesting thing. These things are happening. Jesus is doing this in all of his power, and he's going away to pray. Well, the verse right before it tells us why these great crowds were coming to him, from which he withdrew for prayer. It says they came for a twofold reason: to hear him and to be healed. And for those two things, Jesus came and was doing this ministry. But we might ask ourselves this question: if Jesus is God, why does he have to pray? Doesn't he have all power? Doesn't he know all things? Well, people speculate about this, and we might ask a few questions. Was Jesus seeking closeness with the Father? Or was he, in his humanity, being strengthened by the Holy Spirit in his work? Well, we should not say that Jesus was lacking in anything that God has, because he was always truly God. And yet, in his humanity, what we see is, especially in the last few chapters, that Jesus did what he did by the Holy Spirit. And being full of the Holy Spirit, we see that in the first verse of chapter 4. We see that at the beginning of this Galilean ministry in chapter 4, verse 14. And we see it specifically when we look at what Jesus says when he reads the scriptures in the synagogue in Nazareth. So Jesus says there two things: that by the Spirit of the Lord upon him, he accomplishes two things: the proclamation of good news and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And this is the same thing that Jesus is doing here. People are coming to hear him while he's proclaiming, and to be set free, to be healed of all their things. So Jesus is doing this by and with the Holy Spirit. So it seems that Jesus' prayer times gave him both closeness to God the Father and strength with the Holy Spirit to continue on doing the things that he's doing. And I think that at least we can say this, that what Jesus did, healing a leper, calling his disciples, doing all the things that display his authority and his power, what Jesus did was always done with the Father and the Spirit throughout his ministry. The heart of then of what we see here with this cleansing of the leper is something that we need to take to heart and think about throughout the rest of the day. Jesus is willing to cleanse you when you come to him. Jesus is willing to cleanse all who come to him to find cleansing. It's because of what he did to be our sacrifice, to set us free, to detox us, and to give us this new start and this cleanness, even as we walk with him in this world. And this is what every single one of us needs. We'll meditate on this, and I want you to think about this as we finish with song, as we turn to the Lord's Prayer. Think about this for yourself personally. How do you need his cleansing? And how could you ask for it in your life so that you can walk free from these things that would make you unclean? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the thing that is displayed with the cleansing of this leper. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity and the privilege and the welcome that you extend to us with such beautiful scriptures as this. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your heart of willingness, of kindness that we see in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Lord, let none of us hold back from coming to you humbly and, as it were, with our faces to the ground, asking for your cleansing in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.